Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today and nowhere near a golf course. Stunning. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, and we're fully stocked with Brewers Outlet here in the booth. We need to be all summer long. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. 7th off of Seals Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. We bring in the illustrious Kevin Hurd. Kevin, good afternoon.
Great to be with you again today. How's the weather outside today?
Gorgeous. The sun just came out. A little halo over Mount Nittany right now. It's absolutely beautiful here in the broadcast booth.
Really?
We're talking with Jason Dombach. Yes. It's gorgeous here.
Is it really? Nice. You're serious.
They shut the sprinkler system off in the field. I mean, because we got some rain overnight, but it rained here today.
Wow. All right. It's just gloomy and drizzly here.
I'm not kidding you. Well, that's normally your personality, so what's the difference?
Good point.
All right, so, look, the Crawford pick on the first pick is a really good pick, okay?
Isn't that the second year they picked the shortstop now?
Yes.
Is there depth now at shortstop, I hope?
Yeah, but they didn't, if I recall, they didn't have a first-round pick. Is this the first-round pick the Phillies have had in 2 years?
That's probably true, yeah.
I believe, yes. But they got J.P. Crawford, Carl Crawford's cousin. So hopefully, it sounds like, the bloodlines in terms of the skill level high, and hopefully the motivation out there. So we'll find out. But first of all, before we get to J.D. and talk some baseball from the ballpark, let's go to
the best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on Pre-Auction Blowout, a 2008 Honda Fit HB Mansport. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2011 Chevy Equinox 4-Wheel Drive LT, $13,985. 2010 Ford F-150 4-Wheel Drive Super Crew, one tough truck for just $25,998. 2010 Jeep Wrangler Unlimited 4-Door Sahara, $26,994. Your dream car, a 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427 Arch, is $33,995. And a 2010 Chevy Traverse 4-door LT. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 19... 19-
I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Like a band of gypsies, we go down.
Right, we're taking the show on the road again this week, and we'll do so next week at the U.S. Open in Marion. We're here at Medler Field, Lebrano Park. The Major League Baseball draft is going on. Right now, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and the beverage supermarket. Kevin Herr is studio side in Sunbury, watching it rain. Jason Dombach and I sitting here at Medler Field, Lebrano Park, looking down the range where the sun is starting to break out.
Yeah, beautiful sunshine over Mount Nittany right now. It sounds like your producer doesn't believe you, though.
He doesn't believe
you've been doing a lot of convincing. No, really, it is nice here.
Listen, I've worked with this man long enough. I don't believe half of what he tells me anymore.
Well, that's a good policy to have with Steve Jones. That's
a
good point.
You are a great broadcaster, by the way. Really outstanding.
Exactly my point, right there.
How's your belief system now? Let's get to the draft. The Cardinals will be the team playing here. They go through the first round. There's a kid out of Gonzaga. There's a pitcher out of Ole Miss. And there's a second baseman out of LSU through five rounds. In all likelihood, they end up here.
Correct. I mean, you know, years of experience, and you've been following the draft intimately, I mean, for a long time, but particularly since you've been involved with the Spikes and knowing the New York Penn League. And it's not just the Cardinals picks. It's all of the affiliates that are in the New York Penn League, whether it's the Phillies and who's going to be in Williamsport, or the Mets and who's going to be in Brooklyn, or the Yankees who will be in Staten Island. All of the players that are drafted by one of the affiliate teams in the New York Penn League, you kind of look at and you think to yourself, okay, well, there's a guy that projects to be in this league, and certainly we've been doing that, very anxious,
right,
knowing that we're only 10 days away from the start of the season. You like to try and get an idea of who is going to be on your roster. It's part of the beauty of minor league baseball. You don't always know the roster until they show up. I mean, we've had guys jump off the bus and, you know, oh, it's the first time I've heard that name, but welcome to town.
How are you?
Exactly. So
and you spell that how?
So, you know, obviously we've been following the draft, and, you know, usually when you see those major college players, you know, hey, good chance they're going to start here in the New York Penn League. So Marco Gonzalez, the first-round pick of the Cardinals, we have a pretty good – feeling like this could be a good starting point for his career.
Right. Now, it should be pointed out, Mark Appel was the first-round overall pick by the Astros, and the Astros have an affiliate in the league. The odds of him playing or pitching an inning for Tri-City are extremely long.
That is a little bit of a different case, yeah. There are exceptions to every rule, although, as you and I were talking about before the show, last year's fourth overall pick, Kevin Gausman, out of LSU, big-time pitcher, already in the major leagues, or already with major league time with the Baltimore Orioles. He did make a start in Aberdeen. In fact, did that here in State College. So you never know. It's timing, and each organization's different. But Appel has the look of a guy that probably doesn't need a lot of seasoning in the minor leagues and certainly wouldn't need that at this level.
And for some odd reason, it just looks like there are spots open on the Astros roster.
Well, that's the other factor. I mean, it's open invite year in Houston, I think, this year. They're going to run a lot of players through there to find out who they have.
And the interesting part is that the connection is Bo Porter, for example, managed in the New York Penn League with Jamestown. And, you know, he actually played football against Penn State when he was a defensive back at Iowa back in 1993. So he's familiar with the area, familiar with this ballpark. Ollie Marmol is going to have the distinction of being the first ever guy to play a game at Medler Field Lebrano Park to manage at Medler Field Lebrano Park.
It is interesting. So he does have a little bit of a lay of the land. It was just a two-day visit that he made here as a player when he was playing in the Cardinals minor league system with Batavia, played here in State College. And so, you know, he's a young guy. He's 26 years old, but you've had a chance to talk to him.
Yes.
He is well beyond his years, and you know that the Cardinals are an organization that they have a certain way of doing things, and they need their instructors and anybody involved in player development to be somebody that commands respect, somebody that knows the quote-unquote Cardinal way and the way of doing things and is a really good teacher. So for them to identify somebody as young as he is, mm-hmm. put him in a position to manage young players, particularly guys that will be in their first stop in professional baseball, I think that tells you something. I mean, you don't really need to have seen him go to work to know that if the Cardinals think highly of him as a young guy to manage at this level in professional baseball, you know, he's obviously got a bright future ahead of him.
What's interesting on this level is you don't see a lot of egos. I think it's this is the third level for the Cardinals, though. This is something this is not level two. This is really the third level for the Cardinals in their organization. So it's a little higher up for them than some others. But at 26, I asked him, your ability to relate to the players because you were there yourself a relatively short time ago, he said it's going to help him a lot. It's going to help him a lot.
Well, and I think that as a player, you can relate to a younger guy a little bit better. You know, each organization's different. I mean, you look at our friend Rich Donnelly, who's in his 70s managing in this league in Brooklyn with the Mets. Long-time Major League Baseball third base coach, a lot of experience. But as a young player breaking into professional baseball, you know, he brings something different than what our manager, Ollie Marmol, is going to bring. I mean, there's a more of a relatability as a young guy who was only 4 years removed from his time in this particular league and only a couple of years removed from being a professional baseball player. So, you know, it's interesting. Each organization has a different way of doing things. I think the Cardinals, based on what I've seen with some of their younger managers that they've run through their system and are having a lot of success, Mike Schilt, who's their double-A manager, who you know when he was the hitting coach here in State College back in 2006. I mean, they identify young guys to kind of develop, just like players, to develop as maybe a future manager in St. Louis.
It's interesting because the Williamsport, you know, they've had a manager that was fresh out of playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've also had Mickey Morandini,
right,
who, you know, who brings a name to the table. So every organization has their own way of doing things. Also, something that will be different, I think, for the fans here, that I think the fans in Williamsport can relate to. One thing I've noticed with Williamsport over the years is they have come out of extended spring training and their starters have been stretched out. And it's not unusual for a Williamsport starter in the Phillies organization to crank out five or six innings in the opening week of the season. Fans have not seen that here with the Pirates, but the Cardinals will do that. They have guys that are stretched out that could give them five or six right off the top. So that's going to be different for the fans here as well.
Yeah, it will be different. And, you know, I don't pretend to know all of the Cardinals' minor league philosophies, but I know
I asked him about this, so.
Yeah, and I think having seen Batavia in this league for the last few years, generally the players are a little more advanced. You mentioned that there's actually, and this is something the Phillies don't have either, but the Pirates and Phillies both have a Gulf Coast League affiliate and then a New York Penn League affiliate. But the Cardinals, one of those organizations that have three short-season clubs. So they've got a Gulf Coast League team, and then they have an Appalachian League team in Johnson City, Tennessee, where they can send the players who – look, they've graduated the GCL, maybe the high school players or the Latin American players, but not quite ready to make the jump to the New York Penn League and play against major college players and more advanced players. So I think that's something else that really will benefit us here. And if you look at the track record of the Cardinals affiliates in this league over the last 5 to 10 years, I mean, they've had terrific success. They've won division championships. And, you know, they're just a little more advanced than some of the teams that we've seen the Pirates have, for example. So we're excited to work with the Cardinals. And, you know, it's interesting. It will be interesting to see how they handle pitch counts and off-field instruction. I know, for example, something different that they do that the Pirates don't do that we're helping implement is English-speaking classes for the Latin American players. Because in a lot of cases, when they come here to State College, it's the first time that they've been away from the complex at Florida or been more out on their own. And so an opportunity to that we're excited about that. I think the Cardinals do things that thrilled.
Yeah, the Cardinals badly want it back in here. I mean, they were here in 2006. They did not want to leave. They backed. Relationship with the Williamsport organization has been a very important one. How has that panned out over the years between the two organizations so closely together mileage-wise?
I think from our standpoint, it's been terrific, and it all has to do with the people involved. I hope they would say the same thing about us, but, I mean, Gabe and Doug, who run the Williamsport Crosscutters, are terrific guys, first-class people, industry veterans, and I think we're good friends. We've got great relationships. Doug and I, in fact, we took a a truck of supplies out to Staten Island after Hurricane Sandy, and so we've worked together on some community things like that, just in terms of our relationship off the field promotionally or travel-wise or things that we can work on together. It's worked out really, really well. So from our standpoint, and I think from Williamsport's standpoint, the relationship has been terrific. It's nice to have a close road trip. You only have to send the bus an hour up the road, hour right. and 15 minutes up the road. So from that standpoint, it works out really well. And, you know, I think our relationship with the front office in Williamsport and ownership and we certainly had some hurdles to overcome early on before we ever got to know each other.
Right.
But once we developed those relationships,
Dave on the show, and he's the first one to say, look, there are some different challenges. But what are some of the similar challenges the two of you face as organizations that you can help each other out with?
Well, you know, I think mostly it's promotion, sales, those sort of things. You know, we talk a lot during the off season with the front office, particularly Gabe and I have had a lot of conversations. You might see a promotional idea. Hey, can we share some travel costs? Who do you use? What kind of vendor relationship do you have? So we try to do some things to help each other out that maybe aren't sexy and to talk about, but can really help each other promotionally and marketing-wise.
Jason Dombach, General Manager, State College Spikes. Always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve.
News is next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Tracking the Major League Baseball draft. We're going to talk about the Phillies picks here in just a few moments. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Weekend's here. Time to stock up at Brewers Outlet. And, of course, the Hilshire's General Store open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilshire's General Store. Located 7 miles south of Seals Grove on Routes 11 and 15, the 21st Century General Store. And go to www.hilshirestore.com. All right, let's talk about the Phillies' first-round pick. That's J.P. Crawford. He's a high school player. You will not see him in Williamsport in all likelihood. But they feel very good about him. 16th overall pick, 6'2", 175 pounds. He comes out of the same school that Shane Watson, Travis d'Arnaud happen to be. He's also the cousin of Carl Crawford as well. Not a bad player. Brings a lot to the table. It's also a position, for example, that Roman Quinn, who's one of the top prospects in the Phillies organization, last summer. He is by far the quickest player I have seen in the New York Penn League in the 7 seasons I've been looking at the New York Penn League. And Quinn is now playing at Class A Lakewood. Now, these things sort themselves out. Crawford is a good 3 to 4 years away from competing to be on the roster. He's a left-handed shortstop. He committed to USC to play there. But he's going to sign with the Phillies, hit .432 this year, couple triples, couple home runs, 10 runs knocked in, 13 stolen bases in 25 games with Lakewood. And here's a guy who's the all-time school leader in runs scored to 162, stolen bases with 73, walks with 72, so he has some patience at the plate, and the all-time hit leader at his school with 179. But he's a left-handed hitting shortstop that they are bringing in. But again, Roman Quinn with that burst of speed and a pretty good glove as well. Maybe not the arm or the range of Freddie Galvis, but Quinn is a good-looking player. Remember, Galvis, who can play a spot short third, could be actually up with the with Rollins to begin with. But that's where they are in terms of where they've drafted. Quinn and Crawford are the two guys at shortstop to look at in the Phillies organization. Now, a guy that I think is going to go to Williamsport was the catcher Andrew Knapp. He was the second-round selection, the third overall pick. Expect him to go to Williamsport. Cal Berkeley is where he played this past season at 350, 16 doubles, 8 home runs. He knocked in 41, 544 slugging percentage, 434 on base percentage. His dad also played at Cal, and his dad was drafted by the Angels back in 1986. He played in the minor leagues for 11 years, but he never got out of the minor leagues, never got to the majors. But this guy, Knapp, is going to be an interesting player for them. Now, what do they have in the pipeline ahead of him? We know already that Tommy Joseph is ahead of him on the chart, and Tommy Joseph is there now. They picked him up in the Hunter Pence trade. A guy that I have talked glowingly about on this show before from what I have seen of him before, and that's Sebastian Valle out of Mexico. Young player. He's only 18 years old when he played at Williamsport a couple of years ago. So I think he's, 21 years old now? He's at Double A Reading at the moment. And then Cameron Rupp, who's playing with Lakewood right now, is in Single A. Rupp's a good player. But I have far more, at least seen in the league so far, far more a better feeling about Valle than I do about Rupp. Valle's at Double A right now. Rupp is in Single A at Lakewood at the moment. Tommy Joseph, of course, I've never seen play because they acquired him in the trade for 100 pence. But those happen to be the picks right there. Now, the third-round pick is Cord Sandberg. Do not expect him to be at Williamsport. Power-hitting, left-handed hitter. Actually had committed to play quarterback at Mississippi State. Manatee High School in Bradenton. This kid is a dual threat at quarterback. Really good. I'm talking, good runner, really good thrower. Accounted for 44 touchdowns at Manatee High School last season. 6'3", 215 pounder. Now, the guys that scout him signs him very Josh Hamilton. And he is a really good high school player. Expect him, should he sign, and he hasn't signed. He has to now make a decision. Will he play quarterback at Mississippi State, or will he play outfield in the Gulf Coast League with the Phillies? That happens to be his choice right now. So, I just depressed you, didn't I? Did I lose Kevin?
No, I'm not completely depressed, no.
Okay. What are you doing in there?
Tweaking, adjusting things. I'm doing what producers do,
I see. Interesting. What are you tweaking?
The antenna for your signal.
Well, I can move this if you want.
No, I think we're good now. I think I've tweaked it. I think I've tweaked it enough.
But Cord Sandberg is a guy, they rolled the dice on him in round three, as far as I'm concerned. He has to make a decision. Is a power hitter. He is a line drive gap hitter. That's what he is. And he has above average power from the left side of the plate. Runs well. They think he can be a good defensive outfielder, but he is a dual-threaded quarterback. They say that he reminds a lot of people in the SEC of a younger Tim Tebow, the way he plays the game. And Tebow, of course, the heck with what he did in the NFL. If you're looking at a guy on a college level, the ability to run and throw the ball, that they say that's who he reminds me of. The guy accounted for 44 touchdowns at Manatee High School. So those are the draft picks that the Phillies have had so far. Kevin has no optimism. He's too busy tweaking.
I'm still tweaking.
So Cord Sandberg, J.P. Crawford, so two high school guys, But expect Knapp, the second rounder, the catcher, expect him to be in Williamsport. That, you know, so the picks that they've had so far, he'd be the one, Andrew Knapp, who was the 53rd overall pick, the second round pick. Expect Andrew Knapp, right-handed hitting catcher. Expect him to be in Williamsport. He will probably sign. They'll get him up there and get rolling.
Will he get there in time for opening day?
If he signs soon enough, sure. You know, if he wants to hold for longer, you have until the All-Star game to sign. But if he signs within the next week, he could be at Williamsport for opening day 10 days from now. But the Phillies have some good catchers in their organization between Rupp, Valle, and Joseph. And of course, they traded away Darno. That's how they, you know, was one of the guys they ended up sending for Roy Halladay. And I Darno was really good. I liked him a lot. Liked him a lot. He ended up playing in the All-Star game that year. He and his brother both ended up in the All-Star game here in State College that year. And Chase Darno, Travis's brother's already.
Sunbury Motors Studio on the road at in State College today, a little bit further toward the university side than normal. Ah, there you are. I think you're back now.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm here. I can
well, I'll tell you what.
I put this over here.
I usually hate doing this on the air, but why don't we take a break? I'll continue. I'll tweak, and then we'll come back.
hit the thing on the side. We'll come back with more.
You got a hammer? News
Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Big weekend coming up. Stock up now. Snacks, beverages, peanuts, pickle bar. And, of course, don't forget about the Hillsford General Store hotline, open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hillsford General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hillsfordstore.com. And the Sunbury Motors Studio, mobile today, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Get back to the Phillies picks in a moment. Again, of the three they've had so far, Andrew Knapp, the catcher out of Cal, is the only one I can see going to Williamsport to start. The other two, the first-round pick, J.P. Crawford, and Cord Sandberg, the outfielder out of Manatee High School in Bradenton, will not go to Williamsport in all likelihood. Crawford will go to Florida right away. And as for Sandberg, he has the big decision to make. Do you end up playing for Mississippi State as a quarterback, or do you end up along the way playing for or signing with the Phillies and then going to Bradenton? That's what it comes down to. I mean, that's the decision he has to make. Mississippi State to play quarterback or outfield for the Phillies organization. So those are the first three picks. Dominic Smith, the Mets' first-round pick, another high schooler. This has been the pattern that the Mets have had in recent years where their first-round pick has been a high school player, so don't expect this kid at Brooklyn. He like J.P. Crawford, had committed to USC. So if he does not sign with the Mets, he'll just go to USC. This is a guy who brings a big-time bat to the plate, 493, 7 home runs, 38 knocked in high school in 27 games. Also not a bad pitcher. He went 4-0 on the mound with a 2.08 ERA. So he's the Mets' first-round pick. Now, the Yankees, I think the Yankees got lucky in some ways. A lot of people felt that Notre Dame third baseman Eric Yaglio was a guy that was going to be among the first 15 players taken. Yet the Yankees end up selecting further down in this draft at 26, and they get him. He's a shortstop, or excuse me, a third baseman who has been really had a really nice career And then they also picked up center fielder Aaron Judge in the first round as well. So the Yankees, I think, did extremely well on day one. Yaglio's a left-handed hitting third baseman, Big East Player of the Year, did really well last summer in the Cape Cod League. He had 13 home runs in the Cape Cod League last summer, and the Cape Cod League is not a home run league. The fences are pretty far out in the Cape Cod League. I know I've been to several games there. So to hit 13 home runs tells you a lot. Slugging percentage at Notre Dame was .633. Left-handed hitter, on-base percentage of .500. And they like him a lot. He is, in all likelihood, he'll end up at Staten Island. And Staten Island will play here this year. Now, as for Aaron Judge, another guy that they like very, very much in this deal. Because Aaron Judge is the 32nd overall player in the draft. Out of Fresno State. Expect him to go to Staten Island as well. 369, scored 45 runs this year, 15 doubles, 12 homers, 36 knocked in, also stole 12 bases with Fresno State, and he led the Bulldogs in all the categories. And he just kept, this is a left-handed hitting outfielder who just kept looking at the right field porch when he visited Yankee Stadium earlier this year. Big kid, he's 6'7", 255 pounds. So expect the first two Yankee picks, Yaglio, the third baseman, and Judge, the center fielder, to be with Staten Island, and they'll probably play some games at Williamsport and at State College this summer. Now, Ian Clarkson, the Yankees' other first-round pick, who is the 33rd pick, high school player. And he's an 18-year-old left-hander, and he is a guy that they have a good feeling about out of Madison High School in San Diego. 9-2, 0.95 ERA. Not bad. Don't expect him in Staten Island. So those are the Mets and the Yankees' first-round picks, as the Yankees had three of them. Now, what about the Orioles? They went right-handed pitcher Hunter Harvey as well, 22nd overall pick in the draft. He's the son of former Angels closer Brian Harvey, 22nd overall pick, and he will be easy for the Orioles to sign. They will go after that right away. Now, it turns out that the Orioles' next two picks were both high school players, a catcher and an outfielder. Hart, the outfielder, was selected 37th overall, and the catcher, Cisco, was selected 61st overall. But expect Hunter Harvey to sign quickly and get out there. And he's a first-round pick, 22nd overall. He expects a quick negotiating process along the way. And we'll see what they want to do. You're talking late. They took Kevin Gausman last year, the Orioles did, and boy, do I like Gausman a lot. Harvey was also selected along with Josh Hart, 37th overall pick, and Chance Cisco in the 61st overall pick. Now, Hart's out of Liburn, Georgia, center fielder, 39 runs scored, 33. Stolen bases than being a catcher. And as for Harvey, Harvey's also a high schooler. All three of these guys expect them to be in Florida and not at Aberdeen. All right, so that's the story on the Orioles picks. Any questions by you so far? I think he's still tweaking. Are you still tweaking?
No, I've tweaked everything now, I think. I think we're fine. No, I didn't quit yet. You haven't driven me that far yet.
No. Well, you're the big Phillies fan. What's your thoughts on the draft? To me, the big roll of the dice was Sandberg in round three.
Well, here, what do you always say when it comes to young players in college football and all these charts that get put up? Until I see them, I'm not going to get overly excited or overly depressed.
Right.
And, right. you know, I used to look at things differently, though.
Well, I know you did. Knapp is the one guy you're going to see. The other two you won't see. I mean, Knapp, you'll see. There's no doubt in my mind Knapp is going to end up in Williamsport. He'll be their catcher as the second-round pick out of Cal Berkeley. And it'll be fun to watch him. The other, you know, Crawford you won't see. I mean, I can see him signing relatively soon and getting down to the Gulf Coast League and playing for the GCL Phillies. Knapp, I think, is going to be at Williamsport. The third-round pick, Cort Sandberg, you have to debate right now whether he's ever going to be a Philly.
Well, I have that debate with any of these right now, because how many guys get drafted stay with the team they were drafted with?
Right, but I'm talking within the – when I mean if being a Philly, I mean being in the organization now. I mean organizationally. I don't mean with the big club. I mean, you can't project that. But Cord Sandberg was a great high school quarterback at Manatee High School in Bradenton. He signed with Mississippi State, scored 44 – I mean, accounted for 44 touchdowns as a runner and thrower. They compare him to Tebow, right? And, you know, look how successful he's been. Oh.
Oh, Canada.
But he's the roll of the dice guy. But that's what he has the big decision to make. That's going to be an interesting negotiating process with him. Second hour of the show. We'll be joined by Joe Putnam. Meanwhile, Kevin will spend the next 6 minutes tweaking. Maybe when he gets over to Brewer's Outlet, he can tweak some beverages for us.